A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Proverbs 28:20. Hi, I'm Rob West. That verse promises a blessing when we put our faith in God. But what exactly does that look like when it comes to investing? Luke Bolton joins us today to explore the heart of Christian investing. We're off, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, I've been looking forward to this conversation for some time. Our guest is Luke Bolton. He's executive for strategic relationships here at Kingdom Advisors, and he's really our go-to guy for understanding faith-based investing. Luke, it's a real privilege to have you on the program.
Well, thanks, Rob. It's an honor to be here.
Luke, I'd love for you to begin by telling us how you got involved with investing from a biblical perspective, because it's sort of the opposite experience of many other people in this space.
Well, yeah. For me, theology came first and then investing. I spent the first decade of my adult life studying biblical theology and was kind of imagining my career in teaching the Bible. Yep. But God, in his providence, after seminary, gave me a job in wealth management here at a broker-dealer in St. Paul. And every day I was working with financial advisors and investment accounts. So I found myself asking the question, what does this have to do with theology?
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it took some time, but the Lord showed me that my training could actually apply in this, you know, very good line of work. And so I started searching for the overlap between those two worlds, the biblical study world and the investment management space. And so now, after working in this industry for about 10 years, I see it as part of my mission to help other believers see their investing through the lens of God's word.
Well, and we're so glad you found that overlap, because you play a vital role in Kingdom Advisors and all the work that we're doing to serve God's people. You mentioned that lens of God's word. If we look through a biblical lens, Luke, how does that change the way we see investing from your perspective?
So, as you know, Rob, God has revealed himself through the Bible, and the message of the Bible is really about what God is doing, calling people to himself, reconciling them through faith and through repentance and faith to salvation. Obviously, this is a very different kind of book than your typical investing 101 type of a manual.
That's right.
And because scripture is really about what God is doing, calling people to himself in a new life, I believe that the first impact of biblical faith on our investing is to ask how we, as the investors, are relating to God. And then to consider how our investment decisions also relate to God. So that's really the first step, is to turn from seeing investing as this kind of purely numerical economic decision to actually seeing it as part of our walk with God and as an extension of our heart for worshiping him. And even an application of seeking to do his will. So whenever I meet people who want to be or to become faith-based investors, I just encourage them to start with a simple prayer and say something like, Lord, what is it that you are calling me to do with these resources entrusted to me? I want to do your will, whatever that might be. And so the most foundational issue isn't one of strategy, but one of worship. Are we investing with a heart that worships God, not money, and that honors Christ as our ultimate financial authority? And so if people start with that posture, I believe there are many, many ways that they can then do good and honor the Lord with their investing.
Wow, that's really helpful, and I think a great foundation, Luke, for our conversation today. Well, folks, just after the break, we'll continue this conversation and really talk about the way this heart for God can show up in your investing. We'll talk about what that looks like in terms of your investing choices, maybe even your investing toolbox, and really get practical on how you might apply your faith to your investments. We're talking today with Luke Bolton. Luke is executive for strategic relationships here at Kingdom Advisors, and he's our go-to guy for understanding faith-based investing as we take theology and a heart for God and the gospel and apply that to our deployment of capital and really developing our own convictions as believers. Much more to come with Luke Bolton just around the corner. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When one of my colleagues first got his driver's license, he found out that the first time he drove to work, his dad was a few cars behind him just to make sure he made it safe and sound. Our Heavenly Father doesn't worry like we do, since He knows all things. But like my colleague's dad, He is present, even when we don't realize it. In Psalm 77, the writer Asaph writes of great displays of power in creation, thunder, lightning, earthquakes, waters. They are all under His control. Psalm 77:19, your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. Are you in the midst of a storm? The Lord is with you, footprints unseen. Get daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchored.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit kingdomadvisors.com. That's kingdomadvisors.com.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to join us Friday, July 14th for the Hearts of Fire virtual event. You'll meet four courageous women who showed incredible commitment to Christ in the face of intense persecution. This special event is free. Hear these inspiring testimonies of costly faith, plus worship led by Michael W. Smith. You can watch from wherever you are. Register online at heartsevent.com.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm joined today by my good friend Luke Bolton, Executive for Strategic Relationships at Kingdom Advisors, and we're talking about the heart of Christian investing. What does it look like to put our faith in God? And beyond that, what does it look like to apply that to our investments? Well, just before the break, Luke was sharing how we can look through a biblical lens and allow that to change the way we see investing. And Luke, as we talk about this heart for God being expressed in our investments, what are some of the ways that can play itself out?
Well, yeah. So it all begins with Genesis 1 and 2, where God is calling us to participate in the fruitfulness and the growth and the ongoing development of His world. So God creates us in His image and then instructs us to manage His world and to cultivate and to enlarge all the potential that He embedded into it. Now, there are many, many ways people can do that, including our work, trade, and business, through our relationships. But one way we can contribute to that development of God's world is through investing. So If you look at it at a very high level, investing allows someone to contribute into a financial system that gathers what becomes a large amount of money for use by others. So it's this really fascinating activity that moves money from a person with excess capital to where it can be used by others, like companies, agencies, cities. And so I see investing as fundamentally a good thing. It's good for society, for business, often for the investors themselves and their families. And I know there's a lot more to it than just that, but I would say that investing in general expresses certain aspects of God's will, such as making our excess resources available for use by others, as well as planning ahead for our own future financial needs.
Yeah, that's, of course, really important. How else might this show up in the area of investing?
Obviously, we don't live in Genesis 1 and 2 anymore. And because of the fall and sin, investing is now not only a good thing, it's also a broken thing. And so we know some business projects are going to fail. Some investments are going to disappoint. Some businesses will make ungodly choices. And so this aspect calls Christ followers to a higher level of discernment and asking, how has this fundamentally good thing of investing been distorted by the fall and sin?
Yeah.
And so one impact of that is that some businesses simply will not be worth investing in from a spiritual or moral perspective. And all I'm trying to say here is that as Christians, we know that it's at least possible for a company to be so directly and fully dedicated to a harmful practice that no matter how profitable it may be, believers might want to avoid investing in it.
Yeah, and I can certainly understand that. But avoidance isn't the only tool in the investing toolbox. There are other ways we can apply our faith. So perhaps you can share some of those.
That's right. Nor is avoidance necessarily the most effective way for seeking change in our world. And honestly, there are many, many gray areas where Christians will draw their lines in different places about what they might want to avoid. So I'm not talking about avoiding the majority of businesses out there just because of some political or personal difference, or you don't like a policy here or there. What I'm talking about is that less common case where a business's primary product or service itself is something that is clearly against the stated will of God for his world.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how else then might Christians apply their faith to their investing beyond avoidance?
Yeah, so that's actually the third aspect. We've talked about the goodness aspect, the brokenness aspect, but there are also ways that investing can be redeemed. And I use that term redeemed to remind all of us that God has purposes at work in this world that are far greater than just restraining what is evil or judging sin. Because we see in the redemption story, God is demonstrating his love for this broken world by rescuing sinners and restoring what was broken and lost. We know that Christ came to seek and to save the lost. And so it's not just about purity or pulling back, but a redemptive approach to investing actually leans in to try to focus on achieving something restorative and good by our investing in this world. And so this approach to investing focuses on ways that we can show our love for our neighbor and actually that we want businesses to succeed that are serving the needs of society. So you might call it a purpose-driven investing approach, where you're supporting specific kinds of good endeavor. So for example, some faith-based funds focus on investing in companies that address real-world challenges like cybersecurity, supply chain resiliency, and healthcare solutions. Some focus on investing in causes like education and housing for low to moderate income families, business development in the neediest parts of the world, and clean energy solutions. And so those might be some examples of proactive investing in what we are for. But Christ also came to call sinners to repentance. And Christian fund managers can actually use their platform to say something, to speak up in the markets for what is good and true with the companies that they interact with and that need to make a change. Some faith-based investment managers have worked in this area and have actually seen significant progress. helping companies make positive policy changes. For example, some leverage their influence to try to bring an end to forced child labor, exploitation, and human trafficking around the world. So I would encourage investors to ask one last question, and that is, how might I invest in an even more Christ-like and redemptive way?
Oh, that's really helpful, Luke. Well, I know you've helped clients and advisors with this. So what would you say are some of the most common misconceptions then about faith-based investing?
Well, sure. I know that when I first heard about it, I thought, what is this, a marketing ploy to try to get money from Christians or something? Yeah. But that actually drove me to take a very serious look at it and to interview the managers and to read the prospectus documents and to watch their financial results over time. And I became convinced that not only is this a longstanding Christian perspective on investing, but it's also just as robust and legitimate as any other public investments out there. These faith-based mutual funds and ETFs are fully regulated like every other fund and are openly reporting their risks, their strategies, their fees, and all that. So I personally am very impressed and grateful for the faith-based funds that partner with us here at Kingdom Advisors. Perhaps a second misconception is that faith-based investing is some kind of Christian legalism that people are trying to force others to do something with guilt. And I won't say that's never happened, but I would say that's an inappropriate way to talk about faith-based investing, simply because this is a matter of discernment and the liberty we have in Christ. Obviously, it's not an obligation, but I would see it as an opportunity to express our love for Christ, for our neighbors, and for this world, and to do good works in his name. Just like in Ephesians 2:10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works."
Wow, that's powerful and really helpful. We're going to have to leave it there. Luke, thanks for stopping by. We'll have to have you back real soon.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, that's Luke Bolton, Executive for Strategic Relationships here at Kingdom Advisors and FaithFi. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, my experience is that our financial journey is one of the key ways God shapes our spiritual journey. You see, as we work out our faith through our daily financial decisions, we have the choice to make. We can pursue God or money. We can see ourselves as pursuing worldly wealth or being entrusted with worldly wealth. There's a completely different approach to one versus the other. When we see ourselves as entrusted with wealth, well, our goal is then faithfulness. We're maintaining an eternal perspective and recognizing our role as stewards, wanting to know the master's heart so we can manage the master's money well. If we're pursuing worldly wealth, that's often accompanied with a heart posture that is reaching for and longing for the things of this world. The question is, can we manage money in such a way that it's evident that God is our true treasure and not our things? We want to help you do that on this program each day. We've got a lot of questions. Roxanna's in New Mexico. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I am a live-in caregiver for my elderly mother-in-law. Yes. My late father-in-law and her worked their whole lives, built a good amount of wealth. They have a living trust. Everything is paid off, and they are diversified all over the board. It's really hard for me to manage. We do have a financial advisor through Thrivent who is helping us, but my question to you is, because my mother now is in late stage dementia, we don't know how long it's going to be. Her home is paid off. What, if any, benefits are there to a reverse mortgage? Should we liquidate the assets that are diversified and or look into a reverse mortgage for now before the house is sold? Or dig into the living trust?
Yeah. So what is the plan at this point? And I'm sorry to hear about your mother-in-law's health status with late-stage dementia. I've not experienced that firsthand, but I know from so many others how challenging and difficult that is. What is the plan at this point? Is she? Do you anticipate that she's going to go into a nursing home in the near future?
No, my husband and I are convicted to keep her home. We are convicted in our hearts that we will. I live with her now. I resigned my job to live with her full time. He manages both our home and then comes here to manage this one as well.
Wow. Yeah. Well, God bless you for that. What a blessing you are to her in this season of life. And so why are you looking to repossession assets? Is there income needs that are not being met at this point?
Well, right now we are pooling from what she had, the IRA, and her mutual fund account, just to manage the daily needs, the food, you know, her hygiene products.
Sure, sure. Is she receiving Social Security as well?
Yes, Social Security retirement from my father.
Okay.
She's fine. I'm just curious if the need comes up, which one should we pull from first?
Yeah. So what are there in the way of assets? So first of all, you mentioned the home. What is the home worth?
$200,000.
Okay. And is there any mortgage on it?
No.
Okay. And what does she have in the way of liquid assets?
Close to 75,000.
Okay. Okay, and that 75,000 is in what type of accounts? That's the IRA plus the trust, is that right?
No, that's her IRA, mutual funds, savings accounts, checking accounts. They have it all across the board.
Okay, and has the trust been funded with anything? You mentioned a living trust.
Yes, the trust has 3 homes, 2 vehicles, and all of the personal property, the
wow.
jewelry and...
Yeah, okay. And what is the plan with those 3 homes?
To leave them in the trust because it's living for prosperity for the children, the grandchildren coming up.
So is her plan to transfer the homes themselves to the grandchildren or to liquidate those at death and then distribute the proceeds?
No, the living trust is set up such that it has a trustee. And when a trustee is no longer capable or willing, a new trustee will be named.
Right, but is the plan to actually have the trustee distribute the homes in the trust to the children or grandchildren?
No.
Okay, so are they to be sold at her death?
No.
Okay, so what happens to the homes when she passes away? What does the trust
they
document say?
They stay in the trust with the honor of the trustee.
I see. Okay. So really all you've got available is the potential of converting the primary residence to a reverse mortgage because you're saying that the trust assets are not really countable in terms of being available to be used for her care. So therefore you have the 75,000 plus the potential for the home. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And we can utilize the trust. It's just we don't want to.
Okay. All right.
That's
well,
why
so you've mentioned
question.
Yeah, so you mentioned a couple of options. I mean, I think it'd be worthwhile given all the pieces here for you to sit down with an advisor to really look at the whole thing more than we'd be able to do here in a couple of minutes on the radio. But I would say, you know, if you want to and this is honoring her wishes to avoid the assets in the trust, which it seems like there's quite a bit there, especially if some of those homes were liquidated, I'd probably start with the IRA money and use that and pull out as little as possible. And then as a second fallback, I could get on board with you looking at a reverse mortgage as long as the money's there to pay the taxes and the insurance and the property taxes and the homeowner's insurance. But I would use that as a second resort. I'd start with the IRA first. But I'd connect with a certified Kingdom advisor and do some more holistic planning on this, Roxanna. Thanks for your call. God bless you. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Think how different your life would be if you really believed that you, little old you, were a person whom Jesus loves. You let that settle in your heart and it blows you away every time you think about it. Wow.
Discover how to have a life that really matters. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, we received this email recently, and let me get it on the air here. This comes from Dee. She writes, do you have to make regular transactions in an online savings account to keep it open? My local bank was going to close my account because I didn't have any transactions for a year. Dee, it's a great question. Any bank can close your account without notice for any reason. But most of the time, banks close accounts when the account holder has violated the terms in the account agreement, and one of those is prolonged inactivity. Now, it's less likely that a bank would want to close an account that has a significant balance because they're earning money off of it. So the question is, I think, how much was in that account? And I guess, could you make a small, maybe additional deposit once a year just to keep some activity going? That might solve the problem. But I think the key is to check that fine print when you open the account to see what kind of activity is required to keep it open. Hey, if you'd like an email read on the air, we'd be happy to get that on for you. Just send an email to askrob@faithfi.com. All right, back to the phones to Chicago. Hi, Lupe. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I was doing some spring cleaning, and I was wondering how long do we have to keep, like, insurance records, like for cars or home or medical, things like bank records, like statements.
Yeah, so bank and financial statements, 3 years is probably enough. Anything tax related, you should keep for 7 years. So if you have a W-2, or you have a 1099, or you get a tax form related to your health insurance, you'd want to hang on to those tax forms that have numbers that back up direct inputs into your tax return. Now, a bank statement, that information makes it into your tax return, but you don't necessarily need to keep every bank statement for 7 years because the W-2 captures, the necessary information. So I think if it's tax related, 7 years, if it's bank and financial statements, 3 years, and then you want to keep permanently things like titles, deeds, birth and death and marriage certificates, passports. Obviously, you keep those forever in a fireproof safe. Is that helpful?
Yes. And what, so records for like home insurances and stuff like that, those aren't necessary, right?
They are.
I mean, the current year.
Yeah, as long as you have the current one, you'll get a declarations page once a year, when you pay that premium typically. So you want to get that. If you change a policy, you'd want to keep the information that tells you what your deductibles are. But, so much of that is now available online. You probably have an online account set up with your, property and casualty insurance provider, and you can, on a moment's notice, pull up all those declaration pages and find out coverages. And, you could even get copies of invoices, things like that. So I think that's less important in terms of saving that.
Okay, so I can toss a lot of paperwork away.
That's right. And I would use a cross-cut shredder on that, Lupe. You just typically don't want to throw that stuff in the trash because somebody could get their hands on it and use that to steal your identity. So I think it's worth investing in a relatively inexpensive, but I would use a cross-cut shredder that shreds it in such a way that it can't be pieced back together. All right. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. To Stephanie in Georgia, go ahead.
Yes. Hi. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you.
So I was calling because my grandparents, my grandmother passed away roughly about 3 years ago. And then, so my grandfather is living at home. He did not have a mortgage on his house, but he has recently went and taken out like a $70,000 loan on it just to have money if he needed. And now we're left with the question, does he do a reverse mortgage? Because his income is much smaller than the outcome coming out. He only works 6 months out of the year, which is through tax season. So he just needs a 6 months of the year he struggles, and the other 6 months he has enough income coming in. Right now it's his struggle season until he gets to July, and then that will start up his tax season so he can have more income. But how do you feel about a reverse mortgage?
Yeah. You know, I'm not a big fan of reverse mortgages. I mean, it's not free money in the sense that there are fees and interest rolled into the agreement. Obviously, there's a loss of equity over time because it will have to be paid back when it's sold. You can lose the home if you don't have the money to keep up taxes and homeowners insurance, and HOAs could place a lien on it. So, you know, you just have to be aware of that. And then, you know, obviously heirs will inherit less, and then it could affect, it doesn't affect Social Security benefits, but it could affect your eligibility for Medicaid or SSI benefits if that's a factor. How much equity is in the house at this point?
It's roughly like worth $380,000, and then he owes $70,000 on it.
Okay.
So he has quite a bit of equity.
Yeah. Okay. So you need at least 50% equity in the home to be eligible for a reverse mortgage. So clearly he would be. And, you know, I mean, this is probably his biggest asset right now. So if he plans to stay there for the foreseeable future, and you understand the costs, and not all these mortgages, reverse mortgages, are created equal, so you'll want to shop them around. But it is clearly a blessing for seniors who are having trouble making ends meet, and they've exhausted other options. So I guess at the end of the day, what I would say is, you know, I'm not opposed to it. I'd probably look at other options first. But as long as, you know, he plans to stay, he's got the equity, which he does, you understand there's a cost to it. And if this would meet, you know, for the rest of his life, or at least while he's there until it's sold and paid off, if this would meet the needs that he has, and you understand the implications with regard to Medicaid eligibility, if that's a factor, then I think that it certainly could be worth looking at.
I did not know that could affect his Medicaid or Social Security. So I'll look into that. And I didn't know that. I thought all reverse mortgages are the same. So you can shop around and see like different options, I guess, for reverse mortgages.
Yeah, so I would find somebody who really is a specialist, you know, in this area before you select, you know, the reverse mortgage that you're going to go with, because they are not all created equal. That's for sure.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, we appreciate your call today. Thanks very much. Let's head to Indiana. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
I have retired, sold my house. And I'd like to know, I'd like to use some of it for travel, but most of it I would like to invest. Do you have any recommendations on that?
Potentially. Let's talk about that. So you've moved, you've sold your home. Have you already bought a new home, or what are you doing for?
No, I have no intentions of.
Okay, so you're going to rent from here on out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. And what do you have in the way of proceeds from that home sale?
About $530.
Okay. And you said you wanted to set aside a portion of that. How much were you thinking?
I figured for travel, you know, I don't know. I was going to go with 50.
Okay. You'd have roughly 500,000 left. And do you need to convert that to an income stream to supplement your income, or do you just want to protect it and grow it for the future?
Just wanted to grow it for the future.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's a significant sum of money, as you know. So I would really encourage you to hire or interview and ultimately hire, after you interview several, an investment advisor to manage this for you according to your goals and objectives. So you don't take any unnecessary risk. You focus on protecting it, but growing it modestly to offset the effects of inflation and have something there down the road for giving or inheritance, things like that. Stay on the line. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll tell you where you go from here. We'll be right back.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
This week on Truth for Life, we're excited to begin a practical study on evangelism. We'll hear from Alistair Begg about what it is, why every Christian is called to share his or her faith, how much of the responsibility belongs to God, and how we get started. Listen to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. Just before the break, we were talking to Nancy in Indiana. Nancy has sold her home. She doesn't plan on purchasing another home. She's planning on renting from here on out. She's got about $530,000 in the way of proceeds from that home sale. She'd like to set aside $50,000 for some travel, but she's wondering how to invest the rest. And Nancy, I was saying, you know, this is really a prime example of where an investment advisor could be very helpful. I would interview two or three, find the one that's the best fit. And this is not about somebody managing this money according to their goals and objectives. They would want to do a lot of discovery with you to determine, you know, what's the appropriate amount of risk? And do you need to convert this to income at any point? And do you have any giving goals? And then help you determine as well, do you want to align any of these investments with your faith values and avoiding certain companies or embracing other companies that might be more aligned with your values as a believer? And then they could deploy an investment strategy for you that would focus on, in this season of life as a retiree, protecting this money first, capital preservation, but then also growing it modestly so that it can outpace inflation. Because if it sits there in a savings account, it's losing purchasing power just given what's going on with inflation. So that would involve you interviewing two or three advisors, finding the one that's the best fit, and then perhaps hiring that person to manage this money for you. But how does that sound to you?
That sounds wonderful, and I have spoken to a wealth management from Avantax, A-V-A-N-T-A-X, okay. A wealth management, and, you know, he gave me some ideas of doing some EFTs and some globals and things of that sort. So, yes. But I will continue, you know, get some other ideas. Large cap, middle cap, I don't know, you know.
Sure. And I'm just curious, are you wanting to have somebody give you some guidance and then you ultimately make the decision? Or are you looking to interview and hire an advisor and then delegate that responsibility to them to make the buy and sell decisions?
I like the idea of advising. I like the idea of his recommendations. I like someone who will come back to me and say, you know, Nance, I think maybe at least once a year or twice a year, I think maybe we should move something over, or, you know, I think maybe this might be a better option. That is what I'm looking for.
I see. Okay. Well, I might consider as one other option than our friends at soundmindinvesting.org. Sound Mind Investing was founded by Austin Pryor. It goes all the way back to the late Larry Burkett. And they would provide some mutual fund and ETF recommendations to you, but you could be the one to actually make the buy and sell decisions. You could, you know, put the account wherever you want, Fidelity or Schwab or, you know, TD, you know, any place you want. And then you could use their recommendations or others. But ultimately, you'd be in the driver's seat. Normally, I'd recommend a certified Kingdom advisor, but they're typically going to take what's called discretion, where they would actually take responsibility of managing the money for you. And it doesn't sound like that's what you're looking for. You ultimately want to make those decisions. You just want some guidance along the way. So whether it's the advisor you've already talking to or soundmindinvesting.org, I think that's the way to go, Nancy.
Yeah, I will definitely go on the Sound Mind Investment and make an appointment and talk this over with them. I think
okay,
that
very good.
Idea.
Well, thank you for calling. If we can help further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out to us. God bless you. To Washington. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Yes, I am a power of attorney for an 89-year-old man, and I oversee his finances and everything. He is in long-term assisted living, and our finances are going to possibly run out before his life. And I'm wondering, are you aware of any programs? I've been trying to research programs or any assistance that I can apply for to help with the cost of his assisted living.
No, I think the thing you would typically see happen here is that as the assets are depleted, eventually Medicaid would step in and pay for his care. Of course, he'd have to be in a Medicaid-approved facility. And the facility would be able to help with the application for Medicaid assistance or suggesting another facility that's Medicaid-approved. But beyond that, I wouldn't necessarily have any recommendations for how you could help offset that cost beyond Medicaid once his assets are depleted.
Okay. Yeah. I did look at Medicaid. It seems like they have to have maybe $2,000 or less. And then if I took his cash to that, I wasn't sure how I would pay for his, the items he's responsible for, with the cost of the assisted living rent as well.
Right. So does he have, Social Security coming in or something like that?
He does, and we run about a $2,500 a month deficit with his retirement pay.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So that's going to be difficult because, that you're talking about the asset limit, which is $2,000 for an individual, $4,000 for a couple. There's a separate income limit. So it would be fine if you spend down the assets to that $2,000 level, and then there's income there that can meet his ongoing needs. But obviously, if there's a shortfall there, that would have to come from assets that you'd convert to an income stream. But that's, going to be above the asset limit, and therefore he wouldn't qualify. So I realize that can be a challenge, really difficult just based on what his needs will be. So I think the key would be if that's the only option available to go ahead and spend down the assets. And then once he gets into that Medicaid facility, we'd have to right size the budget to really match that with the income that's available. I know this can be challenging, Chris. You're doing a wonderful service for him as you serve him in this season of life. And we appreciate your call today. All the best to you. To Ohio. Hi, Hope. Go right ahead.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good. I just wanted to share and also ask, I'm roughly about $5,000, maybe $5,500 in debt currently. I consider myself saved as of February earlier this year and have completely entrusted and given that up to God and known that He will fix that for me. And I fully believe that. My only question to you is, how do I remain patient and still please Him in not my spending habits, because there's not much to spend, but how I honor Him in still working that debt off and trusting in him at the same time.
Yeah. Well, here's what I would say. I mean, first of all, I'm delighted to hear that you've surrendered your life to Jesus. That's the most important decision you can make. And we celebrate that decision you made to place your trust solely in what Christ did for us on the cross to pay that what we call substitutionary atonement so we could be in a right relationship with God, not because of what we've done, but because of that free gift that he gives us. And when we place our trust in him, we can have that confidence in our eternal destiny. Now, God clearly wants you to be out of debt. There's a lot of warnings in Scripture, even though it's not a sin. There's a lot of warnings in Scripture, but you have to do your part, Hope. So that means living on a budget. That means cutting expenses so you have money to apply to the debt. That means avoid taking on new debt. You are a steward of the resources God has entrusted to you, however little or however much. And I realize, especially when the bills pile up and maybe you've made some decisions in the past that's resulted in this debt, and with limited income, you may be struggling to pay all the bills. And I get that. And so I think the key would be to try to increase your income over time. Certainly trust God as your provider. He's your provider, not your employer, not the U.S. government, not anyone else. God owns everything and he is your provider, but you have to do your part. And so I would look at something like getting on a credit counseling program with ChristianCreditCounselors.org and look at cutting back spending wherever possible, trusting God for your provision, but also the Bible is very clear, the wicked borrow and do not repay. And when it's in your power to do it, you're supposed to, as a faithful steward, meet your obligation. So I would say, you know, you need to trust God, but at the same time, you've got to accept the responsibility that you have, just in the same way I do, for the obligations you have. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I accumulated the debt, and then it was kind of around the same time that I, you know, found Jesus, that I took a step back and I looked at my finances and I saw I'm not where I need to be. And at that moment was when I decided, from the same token that you have now, where you're saying that I need to accept it's my responsibility, that I have been accepting it and knowing and still working at, you know, trying to do things the right way, the way that I feel that he needs me to, in, you know, paying that back and changing my spending habits and doing things a little bit differently. And, you know, my lifestyle has changed. My spending habits have changed. I just need some more patience and I guess more guidance. So I think maybe I should reach out to the website you gave me or something, but I definitely understand where you're coming from.
Well, that's great. And I think you're on the right track with that, without question. So I would, in fact, as perhaps a next step, contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. And they would basically take a look at this debt for you. They would help you get the interest rates reduced. And this isn't through negotiation. All creditors have what they call a credit counseling rate. That's a percentage interest rate that's lower than the prevailing rate. So by them helping you get those interest rates reduced, you would send one monthly payment and they'd work with you and your budget and they would make sure that it fits in your budget, but you'd send one monthly payment through them and then they'd send it to each of your creditors. The accounts would be closed, but the debt would stay with the original creditor. This isn't about taking on a new loan to pay them off, but the combination of that level payment plus the reduced interest rates will help you pay this back on average 80% faster. So I think this could be a great option for you. And listen, you dig into the Word, find a great Bible-believing church to surround yourself with people who are on the same journey you are, trying to pursue Christ, and they can be an encouragement to you. And part of the body of Christ is to edify one another and build each other up. And you certainly, like I do, need that along the way. I so appreciate your testimony of God's faithfulness in your life and your desire to be a good steward. Thanks for your call today, Hope. We appreciate it. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.